Coming up on All About Android, we're going to talk all about the Ukrainian black market for Pixel 3 phones. Really weird story there. Magic Leap apparently has Android bones. Lenovo has a bunch of budget tablets that you can look at. LG has an Android One phone called the LG G7 One, and your emails and a whole lot more coming up next on All About Android.
Netcasts you love
from people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website on WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off any new plan at WordPress.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by DigitalOcean, the easiest cloud platform to deploy, manage, and scale applications. Over 150,000 businesses rely on DigitalOcean to remove infrastructure friction and deliver industry-leading price performance. Sign up today and receive a free $100 credit at do.co/android. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. You can learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 384, recorded on Tuesday, August 28th, 2018. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I promise to wear my tracksuit. I'm Florence Ion. And I'm in my new tracksuit.
It's either a tracksuit or it's a hacker suit. You look like might be a hacker.
Suit. It's a writing suit, because all I do in it is write. It's too comfy. It's too warm.
Hey.
This was not made for summer.
Okay. But is it summery? Like, is it too warm for right now?
It's before. It's like I need to wear it in the mountains and have like snow bunny boots. And
it's a good thing you're not here in New York City, because it is. I think the real feel today was 99.
Oh.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, don't wear your tracksuit in New York City.
Don't
in
come
August.
Here with your velour. Velour in the Bay Area.
Oh no, I would never do that. The last thing I need is to be pelted by New Yorkers in my velour.
I don't want to be pelted by anything. Not even an Oreo cookie. Not even a wasabi Oreo cookie. Don't throw your wasabi Oreo cookies at me.
We have to look behind us. We're moving on from Oreos. We've broken up.
It's
the
really hard.
The only thing we can do is move on, not think about them, and just start thinking about pie. That's all we can do.
It's really hard, though, Ron. For every single week of this last year, we ate Oreos. It's hard to let it go.
Oh, I know. My coworkers at work are like, what's the Oreo flavor going to be this week? And I was like, nothing. It's over.
You ruined it for your coworkers.
I did.
Your poor coworkers.
I told them to go blame Sundar. It's not my fault.
Apparently,
go blame Google.
Apparently, we were onto something, because, like, I definitely saw a decent amount of feedback over the course of the last year of people that hated the fact that we were eating anything on the show, and that's why we moved it to the end and everything. But I got to tell you, so many people, like, this is like top of mind when they talk to you. They're like, oh, and what Oreo, or, you know, my kids, obviously they have to live with me, so, and they get something out of the deal because I bring a cookie to them. They ask, or people on Twitter, like, authentically, genuinely want to know, like, what we're eating this week. Like, we've set this standard that we have to eat stuff on the show now. It's a hard standard to match up to.
It's a tough standard.
Yeah. Instead, instead of delivering food to you, we're going to deliver you news. But before we do, just a quick reminder, you can subscribe, twit.tv/AAA. Also, I should mention, last week we played a breaking news bumper. We kind of unveiled it. Hopefully there's some breaking news today so we can play it again. But I do want to throw out just a thank you, because I couldn't remember his name during the show and I forgot to dive into it. Anthony Kelly is the gentleman in Hong Kong who gave us the idea for that particular breaking news bumper. So Anthony, thank you for your work and your service to All About Android.
Well, we really do. And I think as we're also reflecting on last week's episode, Tyler Hilliard, who did the awesome projections of the operating systems graph.
That's right.
Chimed in. Actually, I just put his tweet in the his Twitter post in the chat there, if you want to see that, Victor, to throw up there.
The doc chat.
But what I thought was interesting, was that they were projections, and I was right. So there you go.
Oh, thank you for remembering to put that in there, because I forgot about that. I did see that, and he said, thanks for the shout-out. Yes, those were projections. He said, I've labeled them better for next time. Thank you, Tyler, for doing all this awesome work. I mean, it just looks amazing. He did a great job with this. It's a tool that anyone can use, so.
Yeah. I was going to say, can we just appreciate that basically looks like the digital well-being graph, the one that tells me I spend way too much time in social media apps and browsing Twitter through Chrome. I have a little bit of, I've been really playing with the digital well-being and Android Pie. So this is...
Way to make Oreos and Pies fragmentation question about yourself.
I mean, don't we all, when we're using digital well-being tools and looking at the pie and realizing we spend too much time reading news?
The first step is velour tracksuits. The next step is digital well-being problems.
That's what they say.
270 times is how often I unlock my, or how many messages I receive or notifications I get in a 5-hour period.
What?
And apparently I unlock my phone over 80 times.
Holy cow.
In like a 5-hour period.
I remember when smartphones first came out, a friend of mine, a fellow podcaster, Merlin Mann, who, was a long time history with Twit, he had a great idea that he wanted to make an app that just would, all you could do was unlock your phone and tap the app, and that's all you had to do. Because that's all we were
just
doing. Just to get that satisfaction. Yeah, just like just to tap a target.
Sounds about right.
That was 10 years ago. I remember he made that joke in like 2007. So
when that need was just developing, and now it's like now it's enhanced over the years. And hey, why don't we talk about some news, Victor? Let's do it.
Another thing to help enhance your well-being in your velour tracksuit is Android News.
That'll enhance it.
I think that's step 3 for Ron.
Okay, it'll be a while. Yeah. Step 3 is a ways away, Ron.
I'm planning to bring Ron there with me. So the lid is off on the Pixel 3 and Pixel 3 XL, apparently, possibly. Really, let's just talk about the fact that a Ukrainian-based company apparently got a hold of a number of stolen Pixel 3 XLs, which you may have seen surfacing across the internet this last week, because it's definitely been a bustle in my Twitter feed. So apparently this Ukrainian-based company was selling these units for $2,000 a pop via an elaborate Telegram setup that included a pickup in London, England. Isn't that fun? A nice visit to jolly old England to pick up a faux phone. No word on how many units they had for sale, but it seems to have been a lot just based off of what is tracking on the internet. All uniform in the configuration and color of devices sold. Full reviews were popping up in a number of Russian and Ukrainian sites alleging this to be like the real thing. There were high quality video unboxings about this sort of thing. And I know some, I did see some news sources pick it up as, hot stuff. There are already photo shootouts using the unit to take pictures, because that's the thing that we're definitely looking at now in these phones. And all aspects have been revealed, including full packaging, which really lent to the credence of the idea that these were the real thing.
I'm detecting a little skepticism on your part. Do you think these are the real thing or not?
I don't think they're the real thing. No, I think
these are the real thing.
No, I don't.
Wow.
I don't.
Interesting. How could they not be?
I don't have, I guess I don't have a very good reason for why I don't think they're fake. Other than I do not believe that.
You don't think they're real? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe that this Ukrainian site was. It feels too far from where the phones are made, just to be in all honesty. How do they get from China to Ukraine?
Well, the same way they get from China to here.
Okay, yeah, I get it. Through a box, but...
Well, no, but I mean, the distance from China to Ukraine is no different than the distance to China.
It's true, but I don't know. It just... Okay, I'm making that up. But in all actuality...
I mean, these are fake. They're very... I mean, well, I don't know. That Team Pixel thing looks weird. I mean, but I was going to say, some of them, it's a very elaborate fakery. I mean, even down to the Google Mini, the Google Home Mini, like, that's a nice touch. It's, yeah.
Well, it is a nice touch. Anybody could add that in there.
Okay, but yeah. but if it's fake, it's very well orchestrated. Yeah. Why? What is the point? Views on YouTube? If so, yes. This is a. I mean, this is a long ways to go for a couple of hundred thousand views on YouTube. I'm not saying that these are real. Like, no one really knows. It's very bizarre. If these are real, this has to go down in one of the biggest kind of like pre-announcement leaks ever. Because I mean, like you said, the lid is off on this sucker. If this is real, we literally know everything about this phone. And
right, no, this is a leak unlike we've ever seen before. Right?
Feels like, that way.
True.
I mean, it's on par with the Apple iPhone that was discovered in the bar well in advance of, you know, the release, where it was like, and I mean, that was probably a step further because that was a prototype unit and, you know, they were going up against Apple, and that's you don't want to go up against Apple. What's weird here is that we're not hearing. Are we hearing anything from Google about this? There's no takedowns on this device. Videos on these devices. Would Google do that if it was legitimate? I'm not sure. But we're not really hearing very much from Google. And I don't know. I would imagine if these were fakes. Well, I don't know. It's so confusing. It's so confusing, this whole situation.
I mean, that's a great point, because if they order a takedown, that validates them, right? And if they haven't done that, then does that disvalidate them? And or are they thinking, okay, well, if we do that, that'll tip our hand, so let's just leave it be and ignore it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is a lot of components to fake as well. Like, it's not just the phone. It's also the buds, what are they called? You've got the wireless ones, the Pixel Buds.
Pixel Buds, yeah.
But these are the wired Pixel Buds, supposedly, that are included in the box. So if they're faking this, they faked top to bottom, including a version of Android that looks exactly like Pi. You know, I mean, they faked so many different aspects of this. I find it really hard to believe, but anything's possible, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just don't believe it. I mean, I don't. And not only that, but like $2,000, it just seems, you know, I get it trying to make money off a leak, but it just seems like too good to be true. It just seems too good to be true.
Look at that. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's my skepticism for you. I'm sorry, that's where I'm at.
No, don't be sorry. I love it because I hadn't even considered it. Like, I just assumed it was real.
Go
ahead, Ron.
Then after you. Go.
I was just going to say, it's just that we're living in this era of, you know, we really want to have these devices to show off on the internet, to be like the first person to sort of show these off. I could see some dealer trying to take advantage of that in a sense. So I'm very skeptical that it's real, but I guess I will be proven wrong or right when the Pixel is eventually announced.
Like, my brain automatically goes to, I don't know if you guys remember, and Flo, this may have been before the time that you were on the show. This may have been Eileen era. Mm-hmm. But there was someone that brought on a bunch of knockoff, like, Note clone phones. And they were made to look like Note phones, you know, bought overseas somewhere. But they were so obviously not. Like, when you went into the OS, you know, or some of them looked like iPhones, and, you know, they were so clearly not when you really dove in. These, just like every aspect of it is believable, and seems to pair up with the rumors that we've heard so far also. So if these are, in fact, counterfeit, man, bravo to whoever did them, because they did a really good job. Like, they know how to counterfeit. Not to give someone props for faking something like that, but it's really an impressive feat if that's the case.
Well, I was going to say, this is a good segue to what these leaked details of the Pixel 3 XL are going to be. So we can note this here and then compare it on October 9th when Google holds their event in New York City, by the way. But so the leaked details currently, as they stand on these wonderful phones, I don't know if we want to throw up a photo of it again, Victor, but the a single 12 megapixel sensor on the rear camera, but updated Pixel Visual Core chip for better HDR plus processing. It's going to have two front facing cameras, one wide angle, one normal, for super selfies, quote unquote super selfies. That's for Flo. And not for face unlock. It's going to have a 6.7-inch display as compared to the 6-inch on the Pixel 2 XL, but fits inside a body that's nearly identical to the Pixel 2 XL, which is interesting. Higher res, 2960 by 1440, wireless charging. It's going to have a smaller battery, 3,430 milliamp versus 3,520. And as we the aforementioned, USB-C Pixel Buds included with controls for play, pause, and call functions. And, of course, OnLeaks tweeted out a collection of pro renders of the Pixel 3 family. So if you want to see these renders that show off the notch and the speakers and things like that, we can pull those up if we have those. And you can get a sense of what these renders would look like based off these leaked details. So, Flo, if you don't think the Ukrainian photos are correct, do you think that these details are correct? And are these renders closer to what it's going to be?
I mean, sure. Look how what's it called? The effect. They're very high resolution. You can already see. I mean, I would imagine that's like close to the kind of quality that we're going to get. I mean, I see that already with the Pixel 2.
Yeah,
they look.
So you don't believe Ukrainians, but you do believe OnLeaks.
No, I just believe that this stuff is. I don't know what I believe, guys. There's just I don't believe anything until it comes out of the mouth of babes. And
hey,
the babes,
you know what?
In this case are Google.
That's a really fair point.
It's fair.
That's absolutely fair.
I just don't think any of it is real until it comes from the company. And I know that sometimes these things are real, but I don't really pay attention to them until it's the official thing, because it doesn't really matter what we know beforehand.
Yeah.
Because it really doesn't matter until it gets into the box and it's on the shelf.
True. It's a really
valid.
Good point. So, absolutely valid.
Then we can't change anything.
Right.
Yep.
Though many people, based on what we've seen, would love to change things, namely the bucket, the top of the phone bucket. Which some people are pointing out is so deep that when you see notifications within the bucket, you could stack two notifications on top of themselves and it still would like fit within that space.
That's what I gotta say. If you're gonna have a notch, just go for it, man. Go for it.
Yeah. Go big. Go big or go home.
Yeah. Bring that notch down about halfway down into the body of the phone. Then you've got two displays on both sides. Anyways, you had mentioned, Ron, the October 9th event. Now, that is a Bloomberg report that's not confirmed by Google yet. We had been talking and guessing that October 4th was going to be the date, namely because the last 2 years it's been on October 4th. And now Mark Gurman at Bloomberg is saying, actually, and it was totally like an insert into an iPhone article. It was almost like a throwaway, like, oh, and sources say that, you know, the really? iPhone announcement is not going to interfere because it's going to be, you know, the Google one's going to be October 9th anyways. And so I don't know if we know this for certain either. It's all rumory. Sometimes it's fun to talk about rumors.
I mean, this seems pretty obvious. I'm just kind of like, if it's really going to happen in NYC, that is a throwing in the wrench. That is a throwing a wrench into it, is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Yes, you're still throwing it.
Yeah, that wrench is still being thrown. It's in the air.
Duck! It's like, oh, Bay Area now. Why are we going to do it there?
Why would the wrench be? Wait a minute. Why would the wrench be thrown? They've done a New York City announcement before in the past.
This is true. This is true, but I also see it as like kind of a different strategy, like a different marketing strategy. I just feel like there's such a difference when you do an event in the West Coast versus like the East Coast.
What are you talking about?
It's like the difference between doing it in like, oh, we're in San Francisco where all the tech is incubated, but it's like, oh, we're in New York where all like the cool, fashionable people are and design and
people. Whoa, I adore you, but I don't understand any of this. Like, what is it?
I don't know, guys. Okay, I'm just...
I think that you see that Google has a very large presence in New York as well as it does in the Bay Area. They've got a huge... They've got a huge building down in Chelsea. And a lot of media is here and a lot of like, it's just like, don't get me wrong. We all know I lived in the Bay Area for close to 10 years. I love it. And I think it's great, but I mean... broadening the horizons and going outside of it makes sense. And they've done it before. Like, I don't think it's that, it doesn't adjust the tone of the announcement. An announcement is an announcement. I mean, Samsung clearly had no problems when they did the Unpacked event at Radio City Music Hall. Remember?
That true, was the... but they had a history of doing it in New York. Any, regardless, I mean, it's going to be a big ass event.
Maybe there won't be an event. Maybe
that's the thing. I don't know if it's going to be a big ass event. That's true. The thing. Like,
maybe it'll just be an announcement.
Maybe it'll just be an announcement. Remember, I think it was.
We'll just all get
a hurricane
an email
or something
from
that changed this.
PR.
A couple of years ago, they were going to have the big event, and instead, they just put out a PR announcement and announced their devices. And I think it was a hurricane that was passing through. Was kind of the reason for that.
Oh, that's right.
So when things get, you know, get overwhelming, they have a history of opting for a PR release. If these leaks are true and we truly know this much about things in advance, maybe that's its own kind of natural disaster in Google's mind, you know, and that they change.
Well, one thing is for sure, it's not going to just be an event about, it's not going to just be a day about the Pixel.
That's true.
It's going to be about the whole darn Google Assistant and every like facet of it.
And watch.
And that's what I mean about changing the scene, because I have noticed a lot of this Google Assistant stuff incubates in the New York office. So I don't know. I'm just, you know, it's just interesting.
That could be part of it.
You just spitball.
Yeah.
Spitball.
I think they'll do an announcement. I don't know whether it's an event or not, but we're at the time of holiday devices announcements, right? So it makes sense.
Yep.
So I don't know
real soon.
And we'll find out.
Hopefully there's at least some surprise left for the announcement itself. Can you imagine, though, if you work on the Google teams that created the hardware and all these leaks are legit? And
I'd be annoyed.
Can you imagine like the firestorm that is going on behind the scenes?
I can't imagine.
That is like, that is, yeah, that's an insane dropping of the ball. I'd be very curious to know what happened. That's all. I want to know. Hey, Victor, do you have your finger ready? It's time for breaking news, kind of. He's like, oh, okay, hold on one second.
When I say I want, you say pie. I want pie. I want pie.
All right. Once again, I was just looking for a reason to play it. But actually, it's kind of breaking news to me. I don't know if it's breaking news to everyone, but I was talking with Leo before the show, and he was like, hey, Steve Gibson had on Security Now a very interesting Android story, and I hadn't heard of it. It doesn't look like anybody's really writing about this. We don't have to go too deep on this because Steve Gibson, I'm sure, did a great job in Security Now. I'm going to watch it after the show tonight. But apparently, researchers have discovered that Android devices are, you know, you've heard this before, vulnerable to attack. But in this case, through the use of at commands. You remember those? A-T, like A-T-A-T. The old...
ATDT.
Yes.
At the dial tone.
All of these old school, they were developed in the 80s. These commands were used to help transmit data across phone, through modems. You know, ATAT is a classic example of those. I remember these in my Commodore 64 days with my Hayes 1200 baud modem. You know what a modem is, right, Flo? Is that before...
Yes, I know what a modem is.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure.
It almost gave me away that I went on the internet.
apparently, Android phones have similar components, right? Similar modems inside that can be controlled by these old school commands. More than 3,500 functions on some phones in some cases. Commands control features like touchscreen interface, camera, all facets of the phone can be commanded through these AT commands. Researchers analyzed more than 2,000 firmware images from all the major manufacturers and found that, you know, these phones, you know, once these commands are thrown, can do a whole number of things that you probably don't want. So this is almost like one of those unintended, like nobody's looking because it's so old. Of course, there's no problem, but apparently there is.
I can't believe this. This is amazing, and this is now sending me down a rabbit hole of AT commands.
Yes, I know.
AT, and I just found out. I thought that ATDT meant at the dial tone, but it doesn't. It means AT attention, D dial, T touch tone, and then the number.
Yep.
Then ATA to answer, and then oh my god. And then, I just can't, ATHO, like the hook status, and like verbose. Oh my God, this is crazy. And why is it on modern phones? That's crazy.
Well, because we got modern, we got modem hardware built into our phones. And I think along with that is legacy, you know, legacy support for all these things. I don't understand it in the depth that Steve Gibson does, though. So if you want to kind of dive deep, Steve and Leo talked about this on Security Now. So make sure to check out today's episode.
Super nerds need to, I'm going to go listen to that, because super nerds like me who lived on their US Robotics 38.4 Bud Courier HST modem. This is like, oh my God, this is great. This is such, I love it.
Can I just say, the day that I upgraded from a 300 baud modem to a 1200 baud modem, I thought it was moving.
When you went from 300 to 1200, and then 1200 to 24, and then 24 to 48, and then someone told me you could go to 96, and now I'm at 9600 baud, and then someone tells me you can go to 38.4.
Yeah, 38.4. Like, that was a good baud.
I skipped 14.4. I did skip 14.4 and went
14.4 was a pretty popular baud, but I skipped that 14.4 one.
14.4
well.
was a popular baud. But my oh my God, my Courier, my 38.4 Courier HST was like that long, and it was thin and had all the lights. Oh God, it was so cool. It's when you earned your way onto the internet, people.
Heck yeah.
It wasn't even the internet. It was It was a network of message boards that would send your message to every message board on BBSs.
It was a system of boards that you could post bulletins to.
Yes.
In fact.
Teleguard forever. Oh, man.
That was fun.
I'm glad to be a millennial. I didn't have to deal with any of that stuff.
Listen, that's why you take this for granted.
Dial up AOL.
All this that we have now, Jason and I know how we got here.
I know.
Yes, one character at a time, slowly across the screen. That's how we got here.
We're the pioneers. Thank you for blazing the way for the rest of us.
We're gonna get to this in the arena, but think about transferring files. You had to go to the DOS prompt. You had to shell out to DOS and run a command line for the download protocol, Y modem or Z modem or Kermit, and you would suck down your files that way. Compare that to how we live now. It's a much better life.
Yeah, it's a much better life.
I'm going to tell you guys, it's not much different using a Chromebook to access a Windows network server.
Well,
there are definite similarities. You know what? It's a simpler life now. It's a better life now, but I still long for the day. I still look back on those times. The simplicity of those times, and I miss it. I miss.
See, Ron, this is why I was hand coding my website for a while, because it just brought me all the feels.
Yeah, takes you back. I love that we talked about that story and had the chance to dive into history.
I mean, it is crazy, and it's also a great way to remind those who are younger than us, all three of us, that there are building blocks to the technology that we have today, and there's a lot of stuff that's taken place to get us to where we are now with the technology we have. So be thankful to history.
That's right.
And we truly do live in the future. So
yeah.
Okay. Yes.
All right, Flo, you got the email.
I do have the email. Yay. Okay. We've got an email. So this email is from Rog McMahon Jr. I hope I pronounced that properly. Rob writes, Pi has made my Google Pixel 1 all but useless, except for phone calls and texts in safe mode. Ouch. Thousands are having the issue, and there are numerous posts all over the internet. Google support is telling us we are basically out of luck. Buy a new phone. So I believe, Jason and Ron, we were tweeted about this.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, several times by many angry people. Yeah.
So it is definitely a thing.
I had no idea this was an issue.
Well, it doesn't seem like a whole lot of people are kind of talking about this right now. I mean, outside of obviously the people that are affected. This falls into that category of kind of challenging, because the Pixel 1, how old is it now? It's not 2 years old, right?
It's not even two years old.
So it's still kind of within the realm of, it's like borderline on that realm of like, well, wait a minute, at what point is it so old? I mean, Google is saying, you know, well, maybe you just need to upgrade your phone. But apparently what people are saying in this particular forum, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes, is that since Pi the Pi update on many Pixel 1 phones, many people are complaining about these issues. They say before the Pi update, everything was peachy keen. Now, crashing, freezing, phone calls are not dialing, not hearing any sound. They've tried factory reset. That doesn't help. They've tried reverting to Oreo, and that doesn't undo it, so it still persists beyond. Safe mode, like Rob said, does work, though, strangely. Google support seems to be pretty unresponsive. They're recommending, like he said, to get a new phone. Some people in the product forum claim that this might actually be a motherboard or hardware issue, and to work with uBreak iFix, which is the company that Google works with, to get the motherboard replaced. So, this is kind of news to me, but it seems like a lot of people are having very similar issues along these lines, and that's a bummer.
Spooky. And the answer of buy a new phone isn't the best answer you want to hear, especially when we're on the eve of a new phone launch and it could quickly be accused of that. But you got to hope that this is not a widespread problem. I mean, I feel like if it was a widespread problem, we'd hear more about it.
Yeah,
I guess. Not to diminish Rob or anybody else's problems with it. But if the Pixel flagship phones can't handle the new operating system, that's a huge problem.
Yep.
Burke here even says, I'm having a couple of those problems too on my Pixel XL OG.
I was thinking
OG.
Of Burke.
Ooh.
I was going to ask.
And that's the first Pixel XL. So, I don't know. But then again, like crashing, freezing, like
gone.
that's a thing that happens to a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. It's hard to know whether it's result of Pi. But I think if you have a phone and it's working wonderfully, and then you upgrade to the latest firmware, Google pushes it and suddenly it updates, and from day one you start seeing these issues, you're going to be pretty upset, right? Like, I know I would be upset. I'm like, your update broke my phone and you're not going to do anything about it? Like, it was great beforehand and now it doesn't work.
That's such a bummer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I would hate that.
So, two things.
Yes.
One, I hope the Pixel XL that Burke has starts working, because that's what I sold to him. And two, I have to say, I had similar problems updating the Nexus 6P to Nougat. And then that's kind of why I was just like, forget it. I'm just going to buy a Pixel, because I don't have to deal with what's going on with this phone. And then it just sort of died.
I wonder if that's
so
part
of
the plan.
I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Planned obsolescence?
I don't think it's planned obsolescence. I think...
Convenient obsolescence.
I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, convenient to Google obsolescence. Yeah, it's not working. Well, we got a new phone coming out. Just saying. All right, Ron, you got the ad.
Yes. All right. We're going to thank our next sponsor. We want to thank WordPress for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, I love WordPress, hands down. When I needed a website, I had a vision. I knew what I wanted it to be. I chose WordPress.com because with WordPress, there's no limits. I'm totally free to create the ultimate online hub that was truly mine, with room to grow as I aimed higher. It's very motivational. That's okay, because WordPress motivates me to make an awesome website. And you too can be motivated and turn your vision into a reality and launch your website on WordPress.com. On WordPress.com, you can choose from hundreds of designs to match your vision and establish your brand, no matter how much design experience you have. Or don't have, in fact. I don't have much design experience at all, and I'm able to use WordPress to make great websites. It's hassle-free. WordPress takes care of the hosting, security, and software updates so you can focus on your site. You can upload images, video, audio, and more, plus import and export content to and from your WordPress website. It's your site, your home, your content. Which I got to tell you, that those import-export tools are amazing. If you got a site somewhere else, you can get the content, move it over into your new WordPress site. It's amazing. It works perfectly. You want to grow your audience and reach new customers with built-in search engine optimization, social media features, and marketing tools. And with the WordPress app, you can manage your site on the go, which is what people like us need. We're out there in the world. We want to update our site. We don't want to be limited to a desktop. Update it with the app on your phone, and you're in business. It's fantastic. You can launch your website with confidence, knowing you can get help from a 24/7 support team when you need it. WordPress plans start at just $4 a month. And listen, don't take my word for it. How about you take 31% of the entire internet's word for it? Because 31% of all websites run on WordPress. That's amazing. That's dominance, people. A third of websites run on WordPress. It's amazing. And it's a reason, because WordPress is awesome. So right now, get 15% off any new plan purchase. Go to WordPress.com/allaboutandroid to create your website. That's WordPress.com/allaboutandroid for 15% off your new website. WordPress.com/AllAboutAndroid. And we thank WordPress for their support of All About Android and supporting our dreams in making websites. Thanks, WordPress.
Thank you, WordPress. We appreciate your support always. All right. And now it's time for some difficult wear. It doesn't even make sense for any of the stories that we have in hardware, but got to change it up sometimes. Maybe it makes sense. Good news, everyone. Magic Leap is finally shipping. Why, you might ask, are we talking about it on All About Android? I don't know. Did either of you read the Palmer Luckey kind of scribe on why Magic Leap is a, quote, tragic heap?
I didn't read it, but I heard about it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right. So Magic Leap, obviously.
Briefed me on it.
Yeah. It's worth the read. It's worth the read through. It's hard to know if it's like sour grapes or, but I think it's actually pretty, his thoughts on it are pretty well reasoned. But anyways, he lays it on thick. He says the hardware doesn't deliver on any of its promises for AR, most of it anyways. He says, overall, the tone is very brutal. At one point, talking about the, quote, whole new operating system that Magic Leap had touted that they call the Lumen OS, Palmer actually reveals it's running Android with custom stuff on top. He says the same approach most people take when they want to claim they have built a whole new operating system. He likens the user interface to a floating Android Wear watch menu system, which after looking at it, after reading that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess you're kind of right. I guess this just points to the fact that we have to get a Magic Leap on the show now because it's running Android. Like, it's officially something we can talk about because apparently it's running on Android in the background. But I'm very curious because of all we've heard about Magic Leap over the years and, you know, the curiosity that it is and all of this buildup and everything. And now people actually have these devices. It's starting to ship out and everything. Palmer Luckey, I feel like, is the only person that I've ever heard mention anything about Android having anything to do with Magic Leap. Even Magic Leap isn't touting this, and I don't feel like anyone else is. So I almost want to get it in hand just to, like, see, like, is it actually running Android? Like, how did Palmer discover this, and why is this? I don't know. I feel like that's somebody would be writing about it. It's very strange that there's nothing out there about this.
Well, but if you look at I just quickly did a search for Magic Leap and Android, and what comes up on the first page in Google are 42 Android developer jobs at Magic Leap in Florida.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't see that. Is that the glass door thing?
Yeah, glass door.
Oh, yep. Oh, wow. Yep. There you go. So, you're onto something, Ron. I missed that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounds like it's legit, and maybe they just haven't talked about it. And then I just found a post on Reddit on the Magic Leap subreddit where someone's asking what OS is it going to be based on? Is it going to be Android? And 2 years ago, someone says, yes, there are a number of job descriptions on their site that point to using Android as a foundation of the OS.
But they never really talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they would have to have that team in place. Obviously, they released a product that's running on Android. So, okay.
Yeah.
So there's some legit credibility to that.
Credibility.
crud ability. Huh?
What do we make of the creator of Oculus slamming a competitor though?
I know, dunking on the competitor.
I mean, like this seems like, I mean, I get that Palmer Luckey is seen as kind of a VR, you know, kind of a whatever, you know, visionary and whatnot, and did bring Oculus to the world, and he's separated from Facebook, right? He's no longer there.
Yeah, he's not there anymore.
Yeah, so he's not. I mean, I imagine he still has some pride as well as some skin in the game in it or whatnot. Who knows? I have no idea. But I take his criticism of a competing platform with a grain of salt, personally.
For sure. I would agree with that. He's also, I think, very, very known to be a big proponent for the future of VR. You know what I mean? And so, like, I would like to think that he would see something that it actually is a vision of the future and be like, actually, this is pretty cool. This gets us closer. And I think what he was saying in the article is like, I really want to believe, but what I see isn't convincing. I'm sure, no doubt, there's probably some level of, like I said, sour grapes in there as well. But he, from everything that I've read about him, there's a Triangulation interview that comes up in a month that I recorded a few weeks ago, David Ewalt, who wrote a really interesting book on kind of the history of Oculus and VR and everything. And it really does sound like Palmer Luckey is just at his core a true like fan and, you know, wants to see VR become this major thing. Obviously, he's very invested in it. But so I would imagine if there was something good here, he'd probably share those as well. He didn't really share very much good about Magic Leap. I'm very curious to see it, though.
Why don't we talk about all those dead Gear VR headsets out there?
Yeah.
Before we start talking about the Magic Leap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is the case that it really seems like VR is kind of fizzling at this point, and yeah. AR was going to be that's because AR is going to be the big thing, and right. You know, then this highly touted, you know, piece of hardware, the Magic Leap, finally comes out and it ends up letting people down. The air is fizzling out fast.
Well, I've never used Magic Leap. I've never seen it. I know nothing. But what I've heard from someone who has is that it's not quite there yet.
Oh, okay.
So this kind of tracks with what I've heard in my sources.
Yeah.
So
yeah, interesting. Well, maybe we'll get it on the show one of these days. All right, Ron.
All right. So I get a lot of people asking me what tablet did I get quite often. Ever since, how long have I had that tablet now? Has it been a year? It's almost a year. Not a week goes by where a member of the Android faithful, the All About Android faithful community goes, hey, Ron, what tablet was that they got? So there are a lot of people who want tablets, clearly. Luckily, Lenovo must have been following me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Because, Lenovo dropped a new tablet. and you might want to pay attention to this one. It's pretty interesting. So the Lenovo Tab E7. It's a $70 7-inch display. We all love the 7-inch display format, by the way. That's small, but anyway. Running MediaTek CPU, Android Oreo Go edition, 5 hours of battery life, obviously running Android Go because it's the Android Go edition.
Yes.
So that's the $70 7-inch one. They've also announced the Lenovo. There's a whole slew of them, so strap in, folks. Lenovo Tab E8. Which is a $100 8-inch HD display with a MediaTek CPU, 5-megapixel rear camera, 2-megapixel front camera, Dolby Atmos, 10 hours battery life, also running Android Go, and the Lenovo Tab E10, which is $130. I love these price points. 10-inch HD display, Qualcomm Snapdragon 210 CPU, 5-megapixel rear camera, 2-megapixel front camera, Dolby Atmos. All of these are going to be available at Walmart soon. So this is Lenovo is bringing tablets to the people. They also announced the Lenovo Tab P10, which is going to be running Snapdragon 450 with 4 Dolby Atmos speakers, 4 gig of RAM, micro SD card, 15-hour battery life, also running Android Oreo. And the Lenovo Tab M10, a 10-inch HD display with Snapdragon 450, Dolby Atmos, and you can pre-order those this winter on Amazon. So Lenovo is doubling down on tablets, folks. What do we make of this? That $70 7-inch tablet is quite tempting for the casual tablet user.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Feels I mean, it's definitely that's in the Amazon Fire tablet territory there. And it could be a challenge going up against Amazon in that category, because you also get a lot of other things when you get a Fire tablet within the Amazon ecosystem. But
could be a challenge in the U.S.
Yeah.
Going up against Amazon. Not so much a challenge elsewhere in the world, where Lenovo has a really big brand name.
That's a really great point. Yeah absolutely. So, I do think that it's so interesting. We just never hear about tablets anymore. Tablets is just a category that hardly happens.
They're there. They're at the store. I'm going to the stores and I'm seeing them still on display. They just are not talked about because... Yeah. They're just cheap commodities now, I feel like. Just slap Android on there and a couple of specs and boom, you got a tablet.
You got a big screen to watch your Netflix shows on. Your stories. Watch your stories.
I'm still enjoying the Huawei MediaPad for what it's worth, the one that I brought here a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
So. I gotta tell you, the Asus ZenPad treat me well. I can't remember the name. It's all these numbers. The 3S... ZenPad 10, 3S or whatever it is. It's great.
3S. 3S 10.
Yeah. 3S 10.
There we go.
Too many numbers. Just give me 10.
Yeah. Still around $300 for that tablet.
Hey, but I got to tell you, $130 for that tablet is not a bad option, right? Mm-hmm. For the E10, 10-inch tablet, HD display, right? That's pretty cool. $130 is not that $99, $100 is that right price point, I think, for tablets to make them work.
Yeah.
We'll see.
These obviously are not like crazy specced out devices. But if you're just watching stuff on them, like, it's going to be enough. Yeah.
So I will say, by the way, those Dolby Atmos speakers are legit.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, are
they're legit. Cool. Yeah. So if you typically the couple of companies that use that spec, like, it sounds really good for a tablet, which makes it a really nice, like, Netflix companion sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Media consumption device. Cool.
Yeah. As an aside.
Flo, you got the next one.
I do have the next one. And then what happened was I put it in front of me in a blank document and then
it disappeared.
The tab changed. Why do you do this to me? All right. So today we saw an LG phone come out that has absolutely no bloatware on it. Unfortunately, it's an Android One LG phone. So not only is it limited to certain regions, but it's also limited in some of slightly. Well, let's talk about it first. Okay, so LG has officially launched the G7 One running near stock Android. That's Android One we're talking about. It has a measly 32 gigabytes of storage, a Quad HD Plus display, a Snapdragon 835, 4 gigs of RAM, a notch, because that's a thing we put down now, and there's no pricing or availability yet.
Yeah. So 835, that's a couple of year old processor,
which is fine. Yeah. That's for an Android One phone. That's not bad. Yeah. Okay, it's a couple years old. Who cares? You got Android One on there, which is nice and light.
4 gigs of RAM. But
but the 32 gigs of storage is a pure bummer, especially when you have that Quad HD Plus display, and like you just want to catch up on your dramas. And how am I supposed to catch up on my dramas if I have no room to store them?
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if there's a micro SD that you can.
It's never the same. It's never the same. LG also announced the LG G7 Fit. It's not an Android One phone, but on the inside, there's a Snapdragon 821, 64 gigs of storage, IP68 waterproofing, Hi-Fi Quad DAC, which is, you know, LG is known for that Hi-Fi audio quality, and it is legit in this in LG's case, and also a notch, because the notch is I guess the French beret of 2018 for smartphones. It's just it thing to have.
It's the sassy style on the top of the head of the phone.
Yes. So this is all pre-IFA stuff. Right now, there's a bunch of people showing up in Berlin getting ready for all the big announcements. So there's going to be, as it always stands, there's always all these announcements right after we film All About Android. So tune in next week.
Exactly. Everybody's heading off to IFA. We actually had a guest planned for tonight, and he had to postpone because he had to fly out early for IFA. So there's going to be a lot more stuff to talk about next week, I'm sure.
The IFA week is always a packed week.
Not just smartphones, but also some smart home stuff too.
Oh, for sure. More than anything, I would think that I would look at IFA for smart home stuff more than phones, for sure. So
I have to say IFA is very fun because that's where all the cool, like, the appliances that Europe gets. And so you get to see, like, all the really how much nicer their appliances are than ours. Anyway,
it's okay. One can dream.
They have appliances that fit in your kitchen to, like, wash your clothes. Anyway.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean like a washer?
Yes, but like a tiny one.
Oh,
like
tiny one. Okay, that's what I missed. I was like, wait a minute.
Had those since the 80s. Like, that's not a new thing.
I know, but I never see them over here. So I just
I remember when I went to London for the first time in the 90s, I went to my friend's flat and he had the washer in the kitchen. I was like, what's going on in here? And he's like, there's not a lot of space, man. I was like, oh, okay.
I mean, I guess it makes sense to have all the things that wash things in one room.
It's by the plumbing. You only need one plumbing. Here in America where land is plentiful and we waste space left and right.
We put our water machines everywhere. Our dishwasher in the kitchen. Washer upstairs. It doesn't matter.
But in all seriousness, that's IFA. It's just like beautiful show floors of appliances and electronics that Europe is going to get. This stuff is
nice. It's very easy to be jealous of all the cool stuff there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I am.
All right, Mike Reif writes in to AAAtwit.tv to say, actually, it was two emails. It was one, and then it was a follow-up, but I think this is good information. He says, this morning I restarted my Pixel 2 running Android Pie and got the attached notification indicating that Wi-Fi and Bluetooth may scan for networks and nearby devices, even if Wi-Fi and Bluetooth are turned off. I guess this is just like location being off, where off does not mean off. Next, we will find out that our phones are really not off when we turn them off. And then he followed up to say, I found it in the settings where you can turn the scanning off. Now, is it really off or almost off? And I think if you're going to the setting that I think you're doing and you turn it off, then it is really off. But what is this? Actually, if you check out last weekend's new screensavers, I was on with Leo, and we also had another emailer to that show on this very topic. And I think it's something that is kind of confusing people. Along with Pi, this feature was turned on to be on by default. And in Oreo, it was there, but it was off by default. So you had to know that it existed. And it's basically a feature that will automatically scan for open Wi-Fi access points that you've connected to before and that offer a strong signal, even when your Wi-Fi is turned off. So that if you're near there and it looks good, it will turn your Wi-Fi on and connect you automatically so that it saves on your data charges. That's what the feature is supposed to do. And some people are noticing if you go into your Wi-Fi preferences and you turn off the feature that says turn on Wi-Fi automatically, that turns off that hopping, but it doesn't necessarily stop your phone from automatically scanning for these open Wi-Fi access points. So you actually have to go into another part of settings in advanced under location, and there is an enable Wi-Fi scanning option there. D-click that. And then you won't be scanning at all. So just kind of a public service announcement. So I think this is freaking some people out that are upgrading to Pi, and they're starting to see this weird behavior of scanning, even though they've turned off Wi-Fi and it turns back on automatically. And that's why it's doing that.
A lot of Pi-related freakouts happening.
Yeah.
People... People are worried about their Pi.
Pi-related freakouts in the Android world.
A lot of Pi worry.
Pi concerns.
Hopefully that helps. Okay, let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we'll talk about some app news. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by DigitalOcean. DigitalOcean provides the easiest cloud platform to deploy, manage, and scale applications with droplets, with virtual machines that are a scalable compute platform, including add-on storage, security, and monitoring capabilities. Ron was talking last night about how he's actually using this for his own projects. DigitalOcean is awesome. You can choose from standard or CPU-optimized droplets and customize from there. DigitalOcean is actually designed for developers. So there's an easy to use control panel, an API that lets developers spend more time coding and less time managing their infrastructure. Who wants to manage infrastructure if you can avoid it? Industry leading price to performance. You can access the compute resources that you need at the lowest rates, saving up to 55% compared to other cloud providers. And you'll always know what you'll pay per month with a flat pricing structure across all data center regions. And when you sign up for DigitalOcean, when you use the service, you get a bunch of stuff that's included, and there's no additional cost for it. 99.99% uptime, SLA, you get cloud firewalls, monitoring and alerting, full DNS management, there's global data centers all over, enterprise SSDs, easy to use API. These are things that developers love to hear. Over 150,000 businesses, including some of the world's fastest growing startups, rely on DigitalOcean to remove infrastructure friction and deliver industry leading price performance. So you can sign up today and you'll receive a free $100 credit. Just go to do.co/android. That's do.co/android. Do that, you're going to get a free $100 credit. And we thank DigitalOcean for their support of All About Android.
They're the real deal.
The real deal.
I can attest.
Awesome. All right. It's time for some app news. That really just kind of sounds like last week's app news and the week before app news. Because apparently we can't escape Fortnite.
We got some app news, though, but this is great app news because we knew that when Fortnite was going to bypass the Google Play Store, we knew it was going to be exciting and we knew it was going to give us thrills beyond our imagination. But we thought that'd be because of the game and how it would disrupt business models and things like that. I did not predict this. So Fortnite moving outside the Google Play Store is wreaking havoc, but no ways we ever guessed. Its original installer actually allowed for a man in the disk attack to take place on a device. So anybody who installed Fortnite in its original installer was at risk. When the app called for a download, a rogue app could seize that request and direct it to anything they wanted, i.e. something with a payload, you know, something with a malicious intent. There's a video that shows the Fortnite installer installed via the Samsung App Store, run like normal. Then the app data installed as expected, only to reveal it actually installed something different. In the app settings, it shows it has been having installed on the Samsung App Store. So Google audited the software and notified Epic of the flaw. Then they went public with it per their own disclosure policy. And then Epic Games got pissed that Google didn't hold off on that announcement until the update was widely installed, as they requested 90 days before public disclosure. Epic went on record saying it was so Google could score quote-unquote cheap PR points. So Epic Games versus Google, the fight that I didn't even think this would happen.
It's Epic Games. It's an epic battle.
So if Google ever had ammo for the point of why to use the Google Play Store, this is why, right? Yeah. Would this have been able to slip through the Google Play Store?
No, right. Because Google vets everything.
Well, yeah, and from what I understand, so let me read this email from Chuck, because he kind of called us to task. He said, with all the furor of Fortnite not being on the Play Store, I'm surprised that no one on AAA has mentioned the obvious. Fortnite is in the Samsung App Store. This means the largest Android phone share in the U.S. can download Fortnite without turning on unknown sources. I think that you've done a disservice to your listeners by implying that it's only available via sideloading, which is true. That's fair.
I was pretty sure that Ron and I mentioned that it was in the Samsung store.
Okay,
If you did,
Galaxy App Stores, and we definitely mentioned that.
All right, if you did, I missed that.
For the record,
we did, but to play neutral down the line, we did mention it, but we really focused on the outside the Google Play Store side of it, so I could see why. So
the side lighting.
We're both right.
But the reality is, in this particular case, it would not have been of any benefit regardless that it was, and in fact, it isn't. The video that you saw, it kind of demonstrates that. It was installed using a private Galaxy Apps API, apparently, which works behind the scenes when you're doing it through the Samsung App Store to make the whole process easier, which basically meant that what it effectively did for you, it allowed packages to be renamed the same name as Fortnite, which in this case was com.epicgames.fortnite, that could basically masquerade as the real app and install that malware or whatever the payload is when the Fortnite installer that you got from the legitimate Samsung App Store was installed and running. So within that app, as you see in the kind of video that's showing here, you click to download within there. And what's happening at that point is that another app on the phone has masqueraded its own version of com.epicgames.fortnite that has whatever the payload is that inserts in there. And as a user, you just don't know. And the way that even happened was because it was, I mean, partially in this case, was because it was delivered via the Samsung App Store. Now, they've made changes. They've updated, like you said, Ron. One challenge, though, and I didn't include this in here, is that Epic Games did mention that, like, an update to the installer doesn't happen unless somebody actually goes into the installer app. When you launch the installer app, that's when the installer app realizes there is an update to be made and then makes that update and fixes the hole. I'm not sure anybody's going into the installer app and running it again, unless I misunderstood that. Once you run it, you've got the app, the actual Fortnite app running on your phone. You don't need the installer anymore. So maybe I'm missing something there, but that seems like
that seems odd. Yeah.
So
regardless, we should probably look at this as more of what's to come from Android device makers, just this kind of like exclusivity in a way to sort of like woo certain, you know, groups of app users and gamers and players. And it kind of does add an extra frustration, and I know it's a buzzword here on All About Android, but it does add a little bit of fragmentation the ecosystem that's already so apparent. And this is why it's a problem, is because you have Google putting all of these efforts into the Play Store to make sure that, like, it is scanning apps and there are people who are reading app descriptions and making sure that these apps, you know, aren't malicious and
doing weird
stuff. I mean, what is everybody else's stance? I mean, now you've got to keep track of so many different places, so many different sources where you're getting your apps. It's not good, Bob. It's not good.
It's not good, Bob.
Not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob.
It's not great.
Very nice. Agreed. And now we will never have another Fortnite story on this show again until next week. So you got the next
one. Until next week. Yeah, oh, that's boy. Fair. That's fair.
Okay. All right. So last week I booked my first flight on Google Flight.
Oh,
you did? It was an amazing, easy experience.
You've never booked a flight on Google Flights?
I've never booked a flight on Google. Well, because I tend to go to the website. I usually go to the website and book it directly through the airline. But okay. Last week was the first time I booked it through Google Flights to see, like, if it would really get me the cheapest deal. And it did.
It did?
Yeah.
It did.
Oh.
It did. I only paid $180 to fly to Portland, which is not bad. It's not bad.
Google Flights is great. I use Google Flights all the time.
I tried it against a different... Anyway, we're not here to compare it, but I did want to add that I did my first Google Flights booking last week. I will be flying on that flight in a couple weeks, and I'm really looking forward to the whole experience of the transaction being done. And it's also because, you know, we know that Google's really good at tracking flights, so naturally you think you'll get the best deal. And, you know, Google Flights is now doing a price tracking feature rollout, which is based on historical pricing of the current year. So you can get more of a expanded look on what the pricing is like from your favorite airlines and, like, the places that you want to go. So it'll show you the low, high, and typical price points compared to the price that you're looking at, just kind of based on, like, an annual view. And it'll also include similar tools for hotels. So you can see, like, oh, is this hotel cheaper in March than April? Maybe we should stay at this hotel in March. So, you know, just little ways. I mean, this was always kind of a part of Google Flights, is to kind of help you find deals on a spectrum, like whatever your budget was, and then just kind of stay within that budget. But these are just additional features that makes you want to really commit to using this to plan your trips. And Jason did leave a little note in the doc, which I really agree. Wait, isn't this combined with Google Trips? Like, why are we not having Google Flights and Google Trips just be this, like, one-stop travel suite for those of us just want to get away, you know?
I don't even know what Google Trips is.
What? Google Trips is an app.
Yeah. Oh, that's the exploring app, right? Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It manages all of your trip.
It's like TripIt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like TripIt. I wouldn't want this combined with Google Flights.
No. You wouldn't. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's fair.
Of course, I don't use it, though, but I use Google Flights.
Yeah. I'm ready to pull the trigger on a flight to Kauai. It's $188 less than usual, according to Google right now.
That's really good.
So $361 round trip. I don't know if that's very good.
It's not that far. It shouldn't be that expensive.
Is that expensive?
No, that's a really good price.
It's $361 round. Oh, sorry. I'm going to pull myself out of Hawaii right now. I'm doing
hard,
a show. I don't want to, but
I'm in my tracksuit.
Yeah, you're perfect out Hawaii outfit. Of course.
Actually, cool. Too warm in Hawaii.
I forget that Google Flights even existed, to be honest. Now it's back on my radar.
I don't want to use I never liked using Kayak. It was always too busy for me.
Yeah.
I like to use Expedia because they've really ruined my life a couple times. Ooh. So you know, I guess Google's another source. Try it out.
Yeah.
And then if you want to wait like 3 weeks until I take my first flight, and then I'll tell you if
it's not like it's Google Airlines.
they put you in the storage compartment. That's your seat.
Careful. We might be predicting something. You never know the way the world goes.
Well, if that it does indeed happen, you've got a good article there that I'm sure will catch a lot of steam. So, you know, we'll talk about it when you do. of course, at the expense of you riding in the storage compartment. So
I thought it was Alaska Airlines.
Yeah, don't let that happen.
But it was Google.
All right, let's take a break. Thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we will get into the arena. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. This is for all of you folks who are thinking about buying a home. Maybe you're thinking about refinancing a home. You probably already know, if you've been paying attention, rising interest rates is happening right now. Things are going up. There's a lot of unpredictability when it comes to buying a new home right now. And that's causing a lot of anxiety with folks. You know, people don't know if now is the right time, if they need to buy sooner rather than later. And maybe they needed to buy yesterday instead of today because things are changing. Well, our folks, the folks at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. They're calling it the power buying process. It works like this. Quicken Loans will verify your income, assets, and your credit. It only takes, you know, less than 24 hours to give you a verified approval. And when you're verified, that basically gives you the strength of a cash buyer, which in this market, in the housing market, that is the best thing ever. Once you're verified, you qualify for their all new exclusive Rate Shield approval, which means first they're going to lock up your rate, whatever your rate is at that moment. It's going to stay there for up to 90 days while you shop. So now you have 90 days to find the perfect home. You don't have to worry if interest rates are rising. You don't have to worry that the interest rate that you were quoted is going to increase. It's going to stay there. And here's the best part. If the rate does go up, your rate stays the same, like I said. But if the rates go down, your rate also drops. So no matter what, either way, you're going to win. It's the kind of thinking that you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. To get started, all you have to do is go to rocketmortgage.com/android. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of All About Android. And now, boom, 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 boom. It's time for the arena.
Wow. So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right, diving into the arena face first. Don't slam into the wall while you're skydiving into the arena. twit.to/AAAPoll383 is last week's poll. We had four apps in the arena, and Fluctuate wins with 42%. Who had Fluctuate? Was that?
The guests did, of course.
Of course.
Oh, wow. Our guests are really kicking our booties.
Josh Vergara comes in with the win for the guest again.
Jeez. We need to stop inviting guests on this show.
So
we say on a day that there's no guest.
So Josh was first with Fluctuate. I came in second with Shorty. Who had TypeShift?
No, wait. No,
oh,
you know what?
You're right. I'm wrong.
No, that's Jason. Jason won.
Jason won.
I forgot.
You see, you know why? I looked quickly at the other tab, and Jason, you moved to last.
Once I clicked on the link, I was like, oh, yeah, that was mine. I forgot, and then I was embarrassed.
Yeah, so Jason wins with Fluctuate.
All right, yay.
Joshua comes in, the guest comes in third with Fluctuate, and Flo came in last with Hold Down.
That's okay.
So what that does to our rankings through 34 weeks, the guests are still in first at 104 points. I'm in second with 84 points. Jason passes Flo with 76 points, and now Flo has 73 points in last place. So there are close to...
It's okay.
39 points between first place and last place right now. No, that's not right. I can't do it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
384. No. Keep talking, Ron.
29 points. That's what it is. Who can do math? There you go.
That's okay.
I would like to say before we move on to our various apps, I did request, even though Shorty didn't win, coming in second is very nice, I did request everybody to give it a try for us to try to get his app installs number up from 100 up higher.
And I checked this morning, and it is indeed up to 500 plus installs. Nice. And not nice. Only that, many of you left reviews and left comments on the app, all citing heard oh, about no this way. On All About Android,
yay.
Which was awesome. Yeah, which was like, which gave me so much joy to see this in the morning. If you scroll down there, Victor, you can see. Let's see, there you go. Scroll down to the reviews. There you go, Anthony Kelly. Nice feature on All About Android. Go to read all reviews. Heard about this from All About Android. If you expand to show more, go to read all reviews. Right there, there it is. Scroll down again. I love dictating. but yeah, great app. Would love the easier way to pay the developer. AAA app is great. Heard about All About Android. Great app. Heard about this from All About Android.
That
I didn't even
awesome.
Ask you people to do this. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And then yeah. and then when you're a developer and you wake up and you see that, you go, yeah. yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
great job, everybody, on making this guy feel good and feel valued. And hope you continue to enjoy Shorty. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so. That's
great.
This makes me so happy.
I love
people
it.
Cool. Being happy.
So does it make you so happy enough to go first, Flo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you lost.
I did. So today I brought to the arena. All right. So we've been talking a lot about MoviePass and how it's probably going out on the – it's going out. And I brought MoviePass here this year to the arena. So I felt that it would be my duty to bring you a replacement for MoviePass in case you're getting sick of all the news that you're reading about it. Potentially going the way of the dodo, and you're looking for another service that can give you this sort of like, you know, prepay for the movies before you go to them sort of thing. So I've actually been using Cinemia for the last couple of months in conjunction with MoviePass just to sort of compare it for myself. And I, you know, it is an Android app. And I have been using it on my phone. I've been using it on my Chromebook to book movies. And it's been great. So right now there's a summer sale going on. And I promise I'm not here. Just I'm telling you there's a summer sale because you can save more money than I did. Because when I signed up for this service several months ago, I paid $22.99 a month for two movie tickets per month. But right now they have a deal for $7.99 a month. I don't know how long that's going to live for, but they don't have blackout dates. You can go to an IMAX theater and see a movie if you want. You can get advanced tickets. So you just buy this stuff on Fandango because what they do is they give you a virtual debit card. So instead of a physical debit card, you have a debit card on the app that you can access. The expiration date and the number sometimes changes. So it's not always the same thing. But basically what it is you paid into a prepaid debit card. And then every month you're allotted however many tickets you paid for. There's also a family plan, which is kind of neat so that you can bring somebody with you to the theaters. If, you know, you're going out with the kids or maybe you and your partner like to do date nights a couple times a month. That's what my husband and I have been using. And it's really great. It's seriously, I am just so happy with the service. And so I wanted to bring it to the arena to just give to anybody who's saying, you know, I downloaded MoviePass because of the app Arena a couple months ago. I'm hearing all this bad stuff. Here is a replacement. The app is not, you know, the best. sometimes, yes, screens take a while to load. But it's for Android and it's, you know, it's there to get you in to watch a movie. And all you have to do is check into the movie before you buy the ticket. And you don't even have to be standing right outside the movie theater for it to work. So you can do this all at home from the comfort of your bed until you finally decide to get up and take a shower and go to the movies.
Any good That's movies Cinemia. Playing right now? What should I see? What should
actually,
I see? Slender Man?
I actually saw Christopher Robin last Friday with my Cinemia Pass.
Were you able to keep it together or were you bawling?
No,
mess
I
like
was not. So Jason, if you tap watch.
Every time that damn bear opens his mouth.
I know, right? Oh, it was so good. You can tap on Showtimes or you can go back and just, yeah, tap on whatever. And then tap watch, buy a ticket using premium.
Okay.
Oh, well, they want you to change.
I'm not a premium. Plan.
So user. I can't show you. But what I'm, but basically what you do is you buy a ticket using premium, and that's when you go and check in to the time that it's playing the theater you want to go to. And then that basically tells Cinemia, okay, let's release the money to this person who's going to buy this movie ticket. And then you can access the MasterCard that they'll give you. It'll show up on the screen right there where you see the Cinemia card list. That's exactly what it shows up like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
very cool.
It's less fussy than MoviePass. You don't have to carry around a physical card. You can do it all ahead of time. I've been booking my tickets and then buying tickets for anybody who's going with me separately, and it's worked just fine. Nothing sold out on us. I've booked things for I saw a couple indie films at like small theaters in Oakland with this pass, cuz it just works so many places cuz it's just a debit card.
Very nice. I actually like the design of the app, but you're right. Things kind of load a little slowly times. But.
And I think the app in the beginning was really awful, but I think they really have been working on it because they realized the demand was there with all this news centered around MoviePass. And so,
it's very new Android, Google white rounded button kind of like it looks like it fits with Android these days. So.
It does have cute little filters and things like that. If you want to do branded stuff.
Okay, come on, give me a filter. Give me a filter. That's my filter. I see.
I'm happy with the service. You know, I live in the burbs. I like to go to the movies. That's how we distract ourselves here, and it's great.
Excellent. Well, you should watch The Happy Time Murders next because it's what's appearing on the screen right now. Cool. Very nice. It's called Cinemia with an S, not a C, yes. Right? Cool. Excellent stuff. I like it. So then, Ron.
Yes.
Ron, so, you're up next.
So this app, I actually had to look in our little database because I couldn't believe it hasn't been picked before. It's called Xender. X-E-N-D-E-R. And it's an app that lets you transfer files from phone to phone, but also from your phone to your desktop. And it's kind of mind blowing. And Jason, if you have it installed.
I did, I did, but I'm not seeing it. So talk a little bit.
Okay. Well, so basically you can transfer any files, as they say in the Google Play Store here, without the internet. So you can actually connect to somebody via Bluetooth or you can connect to the phone to phone via the being on the same Wi-Fi network. This is a very cute YouTube video that they have explaining how it works. And it allows you to transfer files very easily. But then what is really interesting about it is that the actual interface of the app organizes all the files on your phone by photos, music, video, or regular files. And it also allows you to transfer apps, which I've never seen before. But what's even more amazing is the transfer to your desktop, which, Jason, I might ask you to pull your laptop into this camera for this demo.
Okay, but this is a Pixelbook. Does it matter?
It shouldn't matter because it's just the web. It shouldn't matter, so we'll find out. But basically, open a new tab to do that. So before you do that, though, there you go, behind the screen.
Wider shot. Oh, hey.
There you go. Cool. All right, so let's go back to the phone shot, though, because I want to show you guys the app. So here in the app, you can see there the first tab it defaults to is apps, right? So you can see all of your apps. If you tap on one, it also tells you how big the apps are. But if you tap on one, you see it kind of – there you go. It kind of checks it, says that's the one that you're looking to send. So then just hit the send button. And then what it will do is you have to give it permissions. You have to allow it to access all the stuff and all these things like that.
Preparing.
And so now another person using this app just has to scan that QR code and you guys connect and it will send the file. It also has options if you're connecting to an iPhone, what to do. So it works cross-platform. There you go. It explains right there that you connect to a Wi-Fi network that it's making within the app and then hit receive and it will go in.
All local, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All local. And then running Android, you need your friend to update the latest version to connect with you. That's the one thing you got to be on the same version side. Right. But let's skip past that. So, but neat that they're upfront about that, right?
Sure. So now, assuming somebody can't transfer that, cool, you can do it. So you can stop sending. Just hit the back button. There you go. All right. So now if you tap on photos, you can see that it looks – it shows all your photos. It shows all your music. There you go. Shows all your music, shows videos, shows files, so actual individual files. So basically it lets you access everything that you've got on there, shows you new files, organizes them that way. And then all the way at the beginning of the row, it gives you a history of what you've received and what you've sent so you can keep track of your transfers. So cool. So easy way to connect to other people and transfer. You can also start sending or receiving by those little buttons down on the bottom. Hit send and it will prepare to send and it prepares that. If you go back, hit the back button again and stop, hit back again or cancel that. There you go. Stop sending. If you turn on receive, hit receive, it's basically looking for another person using Zender who's sending basically. So pretty neat. So just hit back. So now, if you need to share the app, there you go. You beat me to it. You hit that little lion and this is how you can share the actual app to another phone. So you do need on both points, you both need Zender to be there. So Jason, if you were with me, you can say, hey, just scan this QR code. You can install it. You can share it via other invites or you can use Bluetooth or your hotspot to invite, which is pretty cool.
Cool.
Now, this is where the magic happens though. So if we go in the upper left-hand corner, hit back. And go in the upper left-hand corner and hit the little yours is a lamb, mine is a cat. And you get the menu. Tilt the phone a little. I got a glare, Jason.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So you see some information about the number of files, the number of people, the number of bytes and things like that. But if you hit the more button down at the bottom of the menu, you can see connect to PC. And so now I tap connect to PC. And it's just the same way that we use Allo or WhatsApp to scan a QR code on the browser. Hmm. So, Jason, if you go to web.zender.com on your laptop there, we're going to show everybody how this works.
Okay. I went there on my laptop.
Okay. Scan. Now scan that QR code.
Scan. Allow. Scanning.
Okay. So now this is where things get crazy.
This says, first time connecting to your PC, click start to take a tour.
Yeah. So you can skip the tour or whatnot, okay, or you can hit start. Right. It will show you. But basically, this now is giving you a desktop access to all the files on your phone.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Not only that, you can drag and drop files from your computer onto your phone via this interface.
Yeah, very nice.
It's honestly magical. It's magical. So, yeah, pretty cool. So Zender makes it real easy for you to transfer files to friends or to yourself between your phone and your desktop. It's a great way if you don't use Google Photos. It's a great way to pull photos off of your phone. If there are special files you want to put on, if you need to put on work stuff, PDFs or anything like that, instead of emailing them to yourself and putting them in Drive, having to download them, all that sort of stuff, it's just a direct drag and drop right into your phone.
Nice.
Love pretty it. Amazing, right? Pretty cool.
That's pretty great.
So Zender, X-E-N-D-E-R, free in the Google Play Store. Apparently it's popular in India. Who knew?
All the people that are voting for your app then, basically.
Yeah. Let's hope. It's amazing. So there it is. Zender. Zender.
Awesome. Very good, Ron. Love it. X-E-N-D-E-R, Zender. All right. So I'm going to show off an app that's pretty easy and recognizable, let's say. There's an app called Rootless Pixel Launcher.
Okay.
This actually used to be an – this was an app that
let
you
me guess. It's a game.
No, but it should be because that sounds like a fun game, how to install a launcher on your phone. I could see it be a puzzle game. Rootless Pixel Launcher actually has been around for a while, but you couldn't get it through the Play Store. And basically, they've made changes so that you now can. What is it? So right now on my Samsung Galaxy Note 9, you're seeing the normal Samsung launcher. I'll go ahead and go home. I'm going to switch over to Rootless Pixel Launcher. And basically, what I have now, I have a true Pixel Launcher on here. This is based on the Android Open Source Launcher 3. That's the base behind the Pixel Launcher and so many other launchers, essentially. But it's merged with decompiled Pixel Launcher sources. Launchers, I actually showed off on episode 339, and it won in the arena, the Lawn Chair Launcher. It was based on this source. And before now, you couldn't actually have this particular base in the Play Store because it was using the original Pixel Launcher's package name in order to do things like make the Google feed on the side work the way people expect it to and that sort of stuff. They had to kind of trick it by using the same name on some of those things. This version is now in the Play Store because it actually removes that name. So it removes the thing that would keep it from the Play Store. But what happens is when you launch this for the very first time, you end up getting a pop-up to do an in-app download of something called the Rootless Pixel Bridge. And that ends up bringing over the components that are required for it to essentially be the Pixel Launcher, but on any phone that you happen to be running. It's completely open source, so this actual launcher can become the base, as it has been for other launchers already. And yeah, I guess this also means that when Google changes their APIs, it's going to continue to work fine based on this. So if what you're looking for is kind of to have the Pixel Launcher on whatever device you have, it kind of turns this into an Android One phone based on the Pixel UI. Let's say it's Google's UI. It's straight from their open source library, and it runs exactly how you would expect it to. So I just thought it was kind of neat that it's now in the Play Store. It's now even easier to get. Although I will warn you, do not download this on a Pixel device, because it actually will interfere with some of the on-device Pixel launcher components. I'm sure it's possible to undo that, but don't test it. I didn't test it myself. But you wouldn't need to anyways. You already have the Pixel Launcher on your Pixel phone. But if you don't have a Pixel phone and you want the Pixel Launcher, this would probably be as close as you get to that. It doesn't have the bells and whistles, though. It's not like a Nova launcher where it can look like it, but it also adds all these extra features. It's straight up just the Pixel Launcher on any device that you want. So do a search for Rootless Pixel Launcher. When you launch it, it'll cue you to download the extra component, the what do they call it? The Pixel Launcher Bridge, I think it was. Rootless Pixel Bridge. And then everything will work as you expect it to. And that's that. Rootless Pixel Launcher. All right. It is time.
Ruthless.
Not ruthless.
I was hoping you would slip and say ruthless the whole time.
I just realized I did not post the poll. I have now posted it. Let me create the shortcut, and then I will deliver it to you in the form of words that I speak. And all right, twit.to/AAApoll384 is where you go to place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Rootless Pixel Launcher, Zender, or Cinemia? Place your vote at twit.to/AAApoll384.
I think Victor is going to go Cinemia. Oh, Zender!
Zender! Oh. He went with the Zender. Awesome stuff. We'll check in on this next week and see where it lands. Without a guest on today's episode, I have a feeling we'll all be just a little bit further along.
Now, here's the thing. I don't want to propose any shenanigans, but we've got 4 months left or so in the year. The less guests we book, the better chance we have at catching up. Jason, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Don't say that, because then if I ever have episodes where I have have something fall through, then people are going to just call shenanigans right off the top. they might just already do that. But I don't know. It's hard to think that the guests won't win this year. They're so far out ahead. Anything's possible, I realize. But this really seems like the year of the guest.
The year of the guest.
It's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. We have reached the end of this show, and we always appreciate you guys watching us talk about Android and say many silly things along the way. And I always appreciate having Flo and Ron side by side, even if they aren't here in person, in TV form. Thank you both for joining.
I still put on my velour for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Flo, we'll start with you. What other than wearing velour, what you got going on?
I just want everybody to know this came from Costco. It was a good deal. So I want you all to know that first. Second of all, I want you to know that I've started writing for AndroidPolice.com. So cool. If you've got, right now I've got a story up about the Chromebook that went up over the weekend about Android apps on the Chromebook. If you want an idea of where to start looking in the Play Store on your laptop, I'm hoping to have more stories coming out in the future. If you have a question that you want answered by me specifically, you can go to florencelyon.com and use the ask form to send me an email that lands right in my inbox. So just reminding, yes, I haven't blogged there in a while, but the ask button is always there for your use. So please, please use it. Submit a question. As long as you're not pitching me, I will read it.
Hey, even if you're pitching, you might accidentally read it and then be like, dang it, I read it.
Maybe you read it and you won't realize, like, you won't realize it's a pitch until it's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The good pitch emails make it seem not like a pitch until suddenly right. You realize.
That's true. That's true.
Thank you, Flo. Site's looking good.
Thank you.
Ron, what about you?
Yeah, so you can go. I don't have a site. I mean, I do have a site, but I don't do anything on it anymore because I'm busy. But go to twitter.com/RonXO or Instagram at RonXO. And that's where you can see I go to a lot of baseball games, apparently. There you go. And I post a lot of nonsense on the Twitter. So there it is.
That's what Twitter's for.
And today is Jack Kirby's birthday, one of the greatest comic artists ever. So there you go. You can go celebrate Jack Kirby's birthday. Click the link on my Twitter profile and you can enjoy that. So there you go. That's all.
Thank you, Ron.
I got some fun stuff cooking still. I know earlier in the year I said I was going to announce a couple of projects. One of them might be coming sooner rather than later. Not the one you're thinking of, Jason, but the one you're thinking of, Jason, is making very good progress, and I hope to be able to talk about it soon.
These things are cooking. Cool. It smells really good at this point.
We're on DigitalOcean. It's great. It's fantastic. It's I see builds. Cooker. My developers are working. Yeah, it'll get there. It's simmering. Simmering.
A slow boil. Awesome, man. Victor, thank you. Once again for joining and helping out and doing all the hard work.
No problem, man.
Because it's not easy doing what you do, and we really appreciate it. And as for me, if you want to find me on the internet, you can right here on twit.tv, doing a bunch of shows. Actually, Leo is leaving in a couple of days. I think tomorrow is his last day on the network, and then he's gone for like almost a month. Not quite a month, but they're going for a nice long vacation. So while they're away, I'm filling in on security now. I'm filling in on this this week in Google, and I'm doing a couple of new screensavers. We're going to be busy around here, so definitely check it out here, twit.tv, to tune in on all that. And if you want to find me personally on the web, you can at Jason Howell on Twitter, and yellowgoldmusic.com is my site where you can find my music and all that kind of fun stuff. Just a quick reminder, best ofs, it apparently is that time, and I really appreciate it. If you want to submit moments from the year, you can, twit.tv/best of. I think that's about it. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails, AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter, we're at Android Show. Arena Apps List can be found at twit.to/AndroidApps. Show notes and past episodes can be found on our awesome home on the web at twit.tv/AAA. You can go there and subscribe, find all the information about all of our episodes, start with episode one, and become an expert on Android. We're like a class for you, an online class. And if you want to watch us live, you can. You can email tickets at twit.tv. We had an awesome gentleman in here just a little while ago watching. He had to bail early, but thank you for coming in and making us feel important. If you want to watch you live in studio, you can. Tickets at twit.tv, or you can find us live every Tuesday on the internet at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Practicing my waves.